No risk it, no biscuit.
Arizona Cardinals fans, do you see red? Are you part of the Red Sea? Then you are listening to The Show For You, a podcast for Cardinals fans, by Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider perspectives. It's time to rise up and see red. Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans. This is the latest episode of the Rise Up See Red podcast. We are back talking Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals training camp as we are in show 120-something of the show. And, you know, we're still in the first few of the under the new name of Rise Up See Red. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, a USA Today Arizona Cardinals site. And my co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeTheBirds.com, the Arizona Cardinals SB Nation site. He also hosts the NFL Draft Breakdown podcast. Seth, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Jess. How are you?
Doing great as we finally get football. We are finally at the end of the no football weekends. As Friday, we're recording on a Tuesday night. Friday is when we get the preseason opener. I mean, it seems it's been a long off season, but now that it's finally here, are you ready for actual games? I think I am.
Yeah, I am, except this first preseason game. I mean, we'll talk to about it later, but I think the only thing to look forward to in this first preseason game, because it sounds like Carson Palmer's not going to play, is how much has Matt Barkley progressed? Other than that, it's going to be kind of lame, but, you know, that's preseason game 1 and 4. And unfortunately, those seem to be the ones that are always in Arizona.
Yeah. That is true. The show tonight is brought to you by Fan Essentials. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL team merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out fanessentials.net. All you do is you pick up your favorite sports team, the Cardinals, and every month you get your own team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to, and each fan box comes packed full of some amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea for any sports fan or even for you. Prices start at just $34.99. So visit fanessentials.net, and you can use our show promo, CRED, in the promo code there, CRED, at checkout for 30% off your first month. So visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. We're still running the – also, I can give away a free month of Fan Essentials. What you need to do is send me on the show Twitter, so Rise Up CRED, tweet me a picture of your best Cardinals gear to the Twitter account Rise Up Sea Red, or to the Facebook account Rise Up Sea Red. The best one will get a shout out on our next show and a free month of Fan Essentials. So check that out. So as we start the show today, we've got some things to talk about. Obviously, there's actually some news: contracts and salary cap. There was a Cardinals extended the contracts of Tyrann Mathieu. It finally got done. And a bit of surprise, they extended the contracts as well for Carson Palmer and for Larry Fitzgerald. And then on Tuesday, the word came out that Jared Verdier had his contract restructured. I found out a little bit of tidbit, you know, not that I had sources in or anything, but I did a couple of clicks on the internet and found the Cardinals' salary cap and situation is less than ideal at the moment. So we're going to talk contracts. We're going to talk about training camp, some of the biggest stories that are coming out there. And we're going to look ahead to the preseason game against the Oakland Raiders, what we're going to watch, what's going to be important, what the playing time is, and all of that. So let's go ahead and get started, Seth. Let's talk contracts. Now, the Tyrann Mathieu contract, was it more? Was it less? Was it exactly what you expected?
I almost got it, Jess. I was $2.5 million away. I almost had it. So I thought it was going to be $565 million and only $35 million guaranteed. They went $562.5 million and $40 million guaranteed, but you know that guaranteed money is only fake guaranteed money. I don't think anybody can complain. I think it was exactly what they needed to do. They protected themselves in the long run, which is what they had to do. I mean, at this point, it's you know, obviously we haven't seen this year, but, you know, from last year, it's pretty obvious the importance of Tyrann Mathieu to the defense, what he brings, and the fact that, you know, you can argue that he is the most important player on the defense. Obviously, like I said, this year could be different. You know, Chandler Jones is here. Maybe Robert Kimdiche is going to play this year. But, you know, until we know differently, Tyrann Mathieu is probably the most important player on that defense just because of what he allows other players to do.
And for me, I was expecting around 12 million. I basically said they're going to have to split the difference, the 10 million a year safety thing and the, you know, the 14 million a year that Patrick Peterson, 12 million was going to take. I wonder what the sticking point was. I wonder if it was the guaranteed money. I wonder if it was the out in 2018. But I wrote about it on CardsWire. I called it, you know, in terms of a contract, you rarely see win-win for both parties. Both the team, either the team's giving something up and they're paying a little more than they should, or the players giving up. And the truth is, this is a win-win for both teams. Mathieu gets what is, I think, like $22 million in actual money between this year and next. So he's set for the rest of his life. And then the Cardinals have the ability to get completely out after 2017 if, for example, you know, the injury thing creeps back up, which is a real concern. We haven't seen players come back from that and be really, especially on two different knees. It will be, especially for a skilled player like that, it'll be uncharted territory.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, is like that's what his game is based off of. That's who he is as a player. And now, you know, if he gets through this year and next year, he's going to get all his money. If he doesn't, like you said, he gets what, about just over $25 million, right around that number. And the Cardinals get out from the heft of the contract in dead money if he's not healthy. So it's a, like you said, it's one of those few win-win situations, and I think you have to, you know, appreciate both sides to coming together. You're probably right. You know, in my guesstimation, the sticking point was probably they were probably offering, you know, a little less guaranteed money, and he said, no, let's do more guaranteed money if you're going to have these provisions in. Like, if I'm healthy, give me my money. And I think that's fair. I mean, you know, these guys don't get, I mean, you know, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but you look at baseball and the fact that Prince Fielder just retired and he's going to get paid, what, $78 million or something like that over the next 3 years. So, you know, and he's not going to play another, you know, he's not going to swing the bat ever again. So, you know, do we want it that bad in football? Not quite, but we do want it where these guys, you know, aren't having to get jobs at the local, you know, car dealership because they got injured and only made, you know, a couple million over their entire career.
Yeah, and, you know, the Mathieu deal, it also doesn't cripple them this year. Well, we'll get to the salary cap in a little bit, but it does what the Cardinals needed to do. The Cardinals needed to get him signed. They, with all the goodwill that they've built up, and with the fact that Mathieu is as popular as he is, it was extremely important for them to get this out of the way and have it look the way it did. Because, one, anything, you know, in a year like this, with big expectations, the slightest thing can just tip the balance just a little bit. And to make things, I mean, you look at the Seattle situation last year with Cam Chancellor. He's a great player, but that was clearly something that affected them, especially early in the season, and probably cost them a game or two in the standings. And we know how that turned out. I mean, they ended up they didn't win the division. They, you know, they were lucky to get past the first round. And I mean, ultimately, they didn't make it as far as they probably should have, considering the talent on the team.
Right. And, you know, you bring up the Seattle thing. What people forget or maybe don't understand is 99% of the time, the players are going to side with the players on this. You know, there's every once in a while that they don't. But in this case, you're talking about a guy that is the heart and soul of the Arizona Cardinals defense and, you know, the kind of next in line as the face of the franchise. So now he is locked. You know, as good of a player as Patrick Peterson is, I think Tyrann Mathieu resonates more with fans. And so I just think, like you said, it was incredibly important for this to get done. So this wasn't something that lingered into, you know, preseason and then definitely not regular season. You know, it wasn't a holdout situation like Cam, so it was slightly different, but it could, you know, maybe then Tyrann is not as amped up to, and I would never say this about him, so, you know, this is just hypothesis, speculation, stuff like that, but maybe then he's not as, you know, amped up to get back, you know, as soon, because he doesn't have that safety net, you know, waiting for him. You know, God forbid anything else does happen to this poor kid.
And moving on, the other contract. Now, this was a shock. I mean, when the news came out, the announcements that on Friday the Cardinals had extended the contracts of Larry Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer, those came out of nowhere. Now, they also made the announcement after they had press availability. So it was really kind of interesting how they handled it, because they didn't hold a press conference to announce it. They didn't take questions. And even Larry Fitzgerald himself, he had his media availability, because he only officially talks to the media once a week. He had done that on Friday morning, knowing full well that extension was coming and the announcement was coming. And then he didn't have to talk again. I mean, he walked through the locker room with a bunch of reporters there, you know, what he had to say. And you know, he said, you know, I had my media availability yesterday, and laughed. And all the reporters sort of chuckled as he walked by. But, you know, we were wondering, wait, what? But it really kind of interesting, because a couple of things on the extensions. One, in terms of Larry especially, I think this was something that he felt he had to do so nobody asked him about what his plans were after the season, because he was getting asked that at every turn. Is he going to retire? Would he consider retiring? Is this his last training camp? What if it's his last training camp? And so, for one, at least on Fitz's side, it just stopped. It basically changed the outlook, because he extended his contract. He was going to be coming back this year. And the same thing with Palmer. These were truly unnecessary extensions, at least per perception on Fitz. It just takes away that distraction.
Right. I think the whole thing was that they just had so much money pushed down. And I think it was like $5 million each year for Palmer. So it was like 17 and 18. And then it was about $4.25 million or something like that each year for Fitz in 17 and 18. So it's like, well, if we're going to be paying them, shouldn't they just at least be under contract to be on our roster? You know, not have an option like, hey, I'm going to get paid by the Cardinals, and, you know, they failed to win a Super Bowl in 16. Now I'm going to go, you know, join up with the Patriots. Like, do you really want that? Like, I'm not saying Fitz would ever do that, but, like, would you really want that scenario to be available, where Fitzgerald, you know, goes and plays in New England while and you know, and wins the Super Bowl while Arizona's paying him over $4 million in 2017 to not be on the roster? Like, I don't know. I get why they did it. It was, you know, one of those situations that just it had to be done. And I think you're right. It takes a lot of the pressure off of, you know, if, when, what's the plan. The other thing it does, and I wrote about this for tomorrow, or today when people are listening.
Or Wednesday.
Yeah, so I wrote about this on Wednesday. It basically says that Carson Palmer is your quarterback of the future. Like, this whole, is Matt Barkley the quarterback of the future? Is Drew Stanton in play to start 2017 if Palmer rides off into the sunset with a Super Bowl? Like, I think I read it right, so you can clarify this for me. 2018 is guaranteed for Palmer as well, right?
No.
No, it's just 17.
It's just 2017 is guaranteed. 2018 is not. Okay. Wait, let me check that.
I just couldn't remember. But anyways, it's basically saying like a 38 and 39 year old Palmer is a better option in 2017 and 2018 than re-signing, you know, and paying Drew Stanton and Matt Barkley to possibly be our starter in 2017 or 2018. So now all of a sudden you've given yourself basically a 2 year, we'll say two, because you know they're not going to draft a quarterback in September. So, you know, we'll say they've given themselves a 2 year window to find the heir apparent to Palmer, but then there's no rush to play that player either. They know they have Drew Stanton under contract next year. If, you know, for instance, in the 2017 draft, there's a player like a Paxton Lynch that falls down in the 20s and they have their second round pick this year. Oh, okay. Now all of a sudden we can make a move and go up and get, you know, a Paxton Lynch, you know, who they allegedly liked. They just didn't have any ammunition. Like, what was their ammunition going to be? They had already traded their most tradable asset in their second round pick. They didn't want to get into 2017 draft. So I think you can see something similar to that in 2017 and 2018, and takes the pressure off of everybody else. Like, there's no, hey, you know, we have four preseason games to decide whether or not Matt Barkley is our quarterback of the future, right? Like, because if Matt Barkley plays in 2016, something has gone wrong, right? Like, nobody wants to see that. So,
and I double check, no, nothing in 2018 is guaranteed. Okay. He would be due $1.5 million roster bonus and 12.5 in salary. In terms of now the Palmer thing, the Palmer and Fitz, initially this is the one thing that it did. It gave Carson more money. That's the weird thing. They just gave him money. Hey, thanks. Have more money.
Well, it was guaranteed next year. Like, he's gonna make God forbid anything happens, but like, he's gonna make his money next year. Like,
yep. There's no, he's got $15.5 million completely guaranteed. They gave him nearly $7 million now, and by all accounts, I mean the full details. I mean, Dan Graziano had some of the details, but he didn't have all the details. But it says essentially it adds $24.5 million in new money and 22.5 in new guarantees. Now there's a disconnect because he got $6.75 million as signing bonus. It didn't say whether his 2016 salary changed at all. So whether that changes salary cap, because if it doesn't, it just adds $2.25 million to the salary cap. I don't know. So I haven't seen the details. It'll probably take them another days, but they basically gave him, hey, Carson had a great year, have more money. But at least for me, my initial impression was this. They did this in part because what it means, at least in perception, is that though it's not this year or nothing, it's not just this year. So we're not putting everything into the 2016 basket. We are now opening that up to 2017, thus bringing a little bit of roster certainty, even though they still have, you know, two dozen unrestricted free agents after this year. It just gives the perception that the championship window is open at least one more year beyond this, when in reality, it doesn't matter what they did. Both of them could still decide to retire after this season.
Right. And, you know, again, I think a lot of it for the quarterback position is simply like they're not satisfied with what they have in house. And so they're like, all right, let's just make sure that we have Carson Palmer. We don't have anything to worry about, you know, and especially 2017, because like I said, like, you're paying this dude no matter what happens. So the whole thing is like, let's just make sure we have Carson Palmer under contract in 2017, and then, you know, we can start shopping or whatever we need to do. Because like I said, there's some interesting names in 2017 draft and 2018 free agency. So, you know,
Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. So exactly. So who knows? Maybe they're like planting all the seeds and the plans of what's going to happen. And they know the plan and that's how they're going to execute it.
Now, here's the thing, and I want to talk a little about this, is the with the contract extensions is a salary cap issue. Now, we knew that the Cardinals didn't have a ton of room. Before the Tyrann Mathieu deal, they had report, I think it was like $4.6 million, $4.5 million under the cap. Tyrann Mathieu's deal added about $2.7 million to the cap. Those numbers are out, so we have those numbers. And so they're left with about $2 million left. What wasn't talked about, and I didn't hear it anywhere else, I found it myself, so I'm gonna scoop myself on this, I'm gonna promo myself just a little bit here. Now, on Saturday, I went to the NFLPA salary cap report, and lo and behold, the Cardinals are over the cap. And so now Kent Summers tweeted out that the insider information that he got said that the cap impact for Palmer and Fitzgerald's deal was almost nil. That can't be completely true. Like if all the Cardinals did was give Carson Palmer that signing bonus, that bumped the salary, that bumped his cap hit by a little more than $2 million. And basically they were at about $2 million under the cap. After those contracts they announced, they were 600,000 over the cap. The only team, by the way, that was over the cap. And then I wrote about it on Saturday. That's an issue because that over the cap, the cap's going to be a problem. Because they're only counting the top 51. And so when the preseason ends, the final cuts happen, it's going to count all 53 players. It's going to count anybody in injured reserve. So heaven forbid a big name player end up on injured reserve and the practice squad. And that, you know, and you still want to have 2, 3, 4 million left over even after that, just in case you got to sign somebody.
Yeah. And four to 5 million is usually, like you said, like what you want. Like you want to have some money in case you have to go get a Dwight Freeney, in case, you know, something of that nature. So yeah, it, like you said, that 3.4 million is just, I mean, it's
well, and miserable. That's where the Valdir deal comes in, because they announced the restructuring. It wasn't like they did it to wiggle it. They had to do it. They were over the cap. You know, and I waited to make sure, but the team didn't announce it, but it was reported that Valdir had, you know, had taken that restructure, so had cleared $4 million in cap space. They were 600,000 over. Now, to the penny, there was a $4 million change on the NFLPA. I tweeted it out, so it's out there. They're now 3.4 million under the cap. That wasn't just this is going to give us flexibility. No, they had to do that. And exactly. In terms of Valdir, there was no downside for him. They were giving him $6 million right now. So okay, you're going to make $7.25 million. Here's six of it right now. Why would you say no to that? So here's that, and we're just going to push that. But I mean, they've got some interesting cap hits coming down the line. Granted, the salary cap's going up, but they've got some big cap hits for players across the board starting in 2017.
Right, and they have some decisions to make. And I know this isn't about a 2017 free agency thing, but like they got to make a decision right now on Kevin Minter. You know, he's a $3.5 to $5 million player a year. Especially, I mean, you look what Donald Butler got from the Chargers, and he wasn't very good. You know, like, what is Kevin Minter going to get, who's very, like, league average good, going to get on the open market? You know, I think he's going to command $4 to $5 million a year. You know, you still have a question at right guard, whether Evan Mathis stays in or not. You know, you have a question at right guard in 2017. And then, of course, you have a lot of questions in terms of, you know, Michael Floyd, John Brown, Dale Buchanan, you have for 2 years, but you know, you probably want to extend him sooner rather than late. Like there's just a ton of, like you said, there's a ton of decisions to make. Yeah. They're going to have like 80 plus million in cap space, but a lot of that's just going to go to making sure that they keep this team intact, isn't it?
It sounds like it, especially the players that they're going to want to build around.
And I didn't even mention Calais Campbell. You know, he might be the odd man out in all of this. It sounds like they're trying to restructure him because they would probably like to kick some of that $15 million down the line a little bit. Maybe, you know, maybe extend him and take, you know, $10 million this year and then give him something like $7.5 million next year. You know, he gets an extra $2.5 million, or, you know, maybe they even do 10 and 10, and they, but they save 5.whatever million this year. And that all of a sudden now you're at $8 million. Like that's that one move. And again, that may not be something that they're even remotely interested in. We have no idea.
Well, and for me, I wrote about it on Tuesday, is this, if they did that for Carson and Fitz to, you know, extend the window, Calais Campbell needs to be in that mix. And plus, they need the cap space this year. So they need to extend his deal out 1 year. One, can, I mean, yes, he gets the brunt of Bruce Arians' criticism. Can you see the Cardinals winning a championship without a Calais Campbell on that line? I can't see them doing that. I don't think there's a way to do it. As good as Rodney Gunter might be, as good as Robert Kendiche could be, but you look at 2017 with the line they have minus Calais Campbell, it's effective. But you can't do that. And that's another thing. So we've got, you know, Arian said they're hoping that this week that, you know, he made it sound like it would be extensions, but it sounded like they're working with three or four guys on their contracts. I'm interested to see who that is, because, you know, if you're kind of looking ahead to 2017, there's a few guys you could look at. You could look at Watford. Do they want to bring him back and, you know, push his deal out another year so they could, you know, he can play? Kevin Minter. Obviously, there's the two big ones, Michael Floyd and Chandler Jones. Are we going to see more? Is Calais Campbell in that conversation? Because I can't, you know, he should be. That cap hit is too much. And that one move really takes care of the rest of everything. This year.
Yeah. Then you don't have to worry about 2016 at all. And all of a sudden everything's about 2017. And like you said, with Campbell, the whole thing is this. Frosty Rucker, I think, is up after this year, right? This is his last year.
After this year.
And, you know, Red Bryant, it may not even make the team. So right. who's your veteran? Corey Peters, who I really like, Corey, but dude has lower leg issues. Like, he is a 320-pound man with multiple Achilles tears.
Plantar fasciitis now.
He's not just going to magically, you know, be healthy all the time. Like, he could be a really good 35% player this year. There's no reason to cut him because there's zero money that they save. I mean, there's absolutely zero. And, you know, from that, you that's the question. Like, I don't know. Like, do you really – I mean, we haven't even seen Robert Kimdiche put on pads yet. Like, we all – you know, you and I think he's going to be very good. Darnell Dockett 2.0, maybe even better. But he hasn't even put on pads yet. Like, is that fair? Like, is that something we can – you know, we can say, like, oh, you're going to go into next season with, you know, Rodney Gunter, Robert Kimdiche, and Xavier Williams and Ed Stinson. Like, all right, well, you just went from having, you know, the strongest part of your team being your defensive line to now you're relying on a fourth round pick, an undrafted free agent, and a rookie who hasn't even stepped on the field yet. Like, come on. Like, you know, people may not like Calais. He is slightly overpaid for what he can do now. He is properly paid for what he did then. And, you know, so now the question is, what do they do?
Now, moving on from the contract talks, we're going to come back and next on Rise Up C-Red. We're going to talk about the preseason. We're going to talk about the training camp. So we've talked contracts, we've talked numbers, but let's kind of talk about the ups and downs of training camp, the injuries. And what we're seeing out there is I've been out there to some practices. You know, we watch Twitter, so we know what people are seeing. We're listening to the coaches. So let next on Revenge of the next on Rise Up See Red is
close. We almost got through it.
Golly, next on Rise Up See Red, we're going to talk training camp stuff. We're back on the Rise Up See Red show, and I, you know, I'm still laughing about the fact I can't get the name right still after, you know, what are we going on, almost 10 episodes now. Let's talk about the stuff that's going in training camp. And I think kind of the biggest thing, for me, and I wouldn't have to, isn't story number one right now, is that the story of Brandon Williams?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only close second is Chris Hubert, who's going to make this roster unless he just bombs in games. But Brandon Williams putting his name as the you know, number two corner is, I mean, it's fascinating.
It's crazy talk. And I'm excited because they're very excited and he's looked really good, but I'm really worried too, because this is his second year playing cornerback, and he's a superb athlete. And if they ask him to play press man most of the time, okay. But oh boy, this could be this. You know, I said on our last show 2 weeks ago, this is going to be a roller coaster. I mean, we thought Jerrod Powers was up and down. We thought Justin Bethel was up and down. I think we're going to see up and down. At least we're seeing some promise. And that's the main thing. We're seeing some very top-end promise for him. So maybe it'll be more like Patrick Peterson's rookie year. Now, Patrick Peterson was an elite talent coming out of college. But, I mean, he had his you know, growing pains his rookie year. He got picked on a bit. But, I mean, no one's throwing to Patrick's side. And you and I talked off the air. Thank goodness Tom Brady is out, because poor Brandon Williams would have seen every single pass.
Oh, yeah, it would have been ugly. Like, not that he's bad. I think he's played, you know, everything I read is that he's played really well. But, I mean, you're saying, you know, Tom Brady against a third-round rookie starter, like,
give me second year of the position.
Yeah, give me Tom Brady, right? Like, you're going to be a Cardinals fan, and you're like, well, I'm going to go with Tom Brady on this one. Like, is he my fantasy quarterback this week? Like, what do I got? Like, so, you know, I the thing with Brandon Williams that's fascinating, and we talked about it a little bit before on the air, it seems like a lot of his success is coming on plays where he is asked to press and then run. And he's not having to do a ton of work at, you know, covering in breaking, out breaking, you know, those type of routes. Like he's doing a lot of press and run. And so he tested as a great linear athlete. So I'm interested to see this week, you know, before we even talk about the preseason game, I'm interested to see what he does against two excellent route runners in Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. Like, how well does he do? Because this is a fantastic first test for Brandon Williams. And honestly, the Arizona Cardinals could not ask for a better test than they're going to get in the Oakland Raiders at every place that there might be a question mark. And we'll talk about that later. But I think with Brandon Williams especially, like, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And on the other side of the story is the absolute disappointment there has to be in Justin Bethel. Not necessarily for the fans, just because how unfortunate that, because it was all set. I've said it all offseason. Justin Bethel's going to be the starter, but he hasn't gotten a single rep. You know, I didn't know about the broken foot. He played on that fractured foot all year. And so all of a sudden, and suddenly, he had foot surgery. Yeah, he'll be fine for training camp. So he misses OTAs. He misses mini camp. Oh, and then a week before camp, you're like, oh, no. He needs these reps. And so now they've paid him to be a number two corner. They've paid him to be a number two cornerback. And now he's gone. I'm sure he'll be needed. But the one thing about Bethel, he's not nearly as flexible. He doesn't play inside. He doesn't play slot. It's not like he is an outside corner, and he just lost his job without ever getting a chance to win it.
Right. And you know, that's what we talked about, I think, in episode 2 weeks ago, like camp preview. Like, the question was, are they going to, you know, is he going to get Wally pipped? And, you know, that was, we didn't know. And all of a sudden, he is. Like, he legitimately is getting passed over because he was hurt. And, you know, the question becomes, and somebody wrote this, and I never, ever question a guy in injuries and anything like that. Like, as somebody that's blown out their knee, like, I know the difference in what it takes to come back and how everybody comes back on a different, you know, on a different plane and differently. But it begs the question, when did he have his surgery and why didn't he have it sooner, right? Like, could he have had it sooner? Like, what was – because why was he still rehabbing right before camp? Not, you know, not a month before camp, like right before camp when he had the setback, why was he still just now rehabbing? That was, you know, that was the question I had at least. And, you know, now – we've talked about it maybe 5,000 times on this show. There's only one way to get into Bruce Arians' doghouse, and that is to not play. Not to play. He is, you know, if Bruce Arians has a fault, and, you know, Cardinals fans love it now, but if Bruce Arians has a fault, it's that he is an old school NFL coach. He believes in, you know, if you're injured, you play, or if you're hurt, you play hurt. You know, you only don't play if you're injured. And we saw it with Jonathan Cooper. You know, he didn't have any patience for Cooper.
Ryan Williams, yeah, Sean Witherspoon.
Yeah, anybody, and it doesn't matter who it is. Like, he just doesn't have patience for it. Like, it's just, it's not something he deals with on a personal level.
And no, so, he just moves on. He moves on from them. Oh, the next man up. He's saying, okay, now. Yeah, Ted Larson, you're the guy.
Yeah, and it's not even next man up. It's like
out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, you're not going to be back on this on the field unless every person in front of you and anybody else I can find on the sideline breaks their leg, their arms, cannot walk. Like, because, you know, he just basically says, I'm done with you. And fair or not, that's just who he is as a coach. And so, you know, we're seeing that play out now in Justin Bethel. And maybe, you know, I loved your article the other day. I tagged it on Revenge of the Birds. You know, all of a sudden, Justin Bethel feels like he's going to be back a little sooner. You know, like Brandon Williams.
That's a great quote. You know, yeah, you know, that the way Brandon's playing is, you know, it's making Justin healthier. You know, he's starting to feel better.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the sad reality, right? Like, that's just, it's sad, but that's, you know, that's what happens.
It is. And it's, you know, it's going to be interesting now. Ultimately, we'll see Brandon Williams when, you know, when the bullets are live, like they like to say, when the bullets are live and he's actually covering guys that aren't they're not the Cardinals receivers whose routes he already knows because he's seen him a million times. And so maybe Bethel, as long as he can get back, he needs to get, you know, he needs to get in at least a couple of weeks of camp. Well, at least he needs to get at least the last week of camp, because if you don't, Arians won't play him all year.
He doesn't play people
who do not play in camp.
He will spend his entire season on the special teams like he has before. Like, that's just what he'll do. That's just who he'll be.
Yeah, and so, but talk about other stories. You know, we're starting to see it. It's kind of happened again. Jerron Brown, and I had him off my final 53. I think the salary as a number five receiver to me was a little, you know, $1.7 million for a number five receiver. Maybe. Well, and we'll see it. Last year he was really inconsistent. I think it kind of showed a little bit. I saw evidence of it in the All or Nothing series. But he's making plays again. And so I guess we can say that his stock is rising right now.
Yeah, and I think he's safe now, because, you know, the only wide receiver that was on the roster, and I'll say on the 53 roster, that had to worry or that has to worry right now is Britton Golden. You know, Jackson Shipley obviously has to worry, but he wasn't a returning player
right
on the roster. So, but I think, you know, Jerron Brown has done this camp what he needs to do. You know, it's going to – and people are going to think I'm crazy. And I am. You know, I have no problem admitting that. But people are going to think I'm crazy. But, like, is there going to be a debate whether to bring back Michael Floyd or Jerron Brown, right? Because, like, if they're going to – you and I hypothesize. You know, we don't know. We don't have an inside source in this matter. But we hypothesize that they're going to want to extend – John Brown long term. And so could they look at Jerron Brown as being the Michael Floyd replacement, the big wide receiver that they need, and then, you know, have JJ Nelson, John Brown, and then maybe this Hubert kid? I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to watch as the season goes on. But I did have a buddy text me, and it was, you know, I won't say who it was, but it was pretty funny. And he said, oh, Jerron Brown's having another great camp. I can't wait till he has 15 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown in the season. Because it is something that we talk about every year, right? Like, oh, Jerron Brown. God, I'm going to butcher that all night. Jerron Brown, have, you know, amazing camp. Is he a number three? You know, what is he? And
Arian said it on Tuesday, in the right system, he could be a solid number two, number three. Oh boy, he said.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, all right, then, you know, then pay him like that, you know, give him $4 million a year, let John Brown or Michael Floyd walk, and have, you know, then you have Fitz for 16, you have Floyd Brown for 16 and beyond, or 17 and beyond, sorry, 17. And then, you know, Jerron Brown's your number three now.
I can see that world. I really can. I can see that world.
Oh, you can. Oh, okay. See, I can't.
I can see that happening because, and we'll see how things go with Floyd. Now, obviously, because they extended Fitz, and that's kind of been the thing. Fitz is on the hook for another $11 million next year. Are they going to be able to pay Michael Floyd $11 million?
No.
Yeah. And can they replace that, his production, yes, with a combination of JJ Nelson and Jerron Brown? Probably.
No, they can replace his production with JJ Nelson. Like, and it's not a shot at Floyd. Like, wide receivers are replaceable commodities. They just are. You're talking about a guy that had, you know, 50 catches for 850 yards. Like, those are replaceable numbers. You know, if you want to debate whether or not another wide receiver is as talented, has as much upside, like, that's not the debate. The debate is, can you replace what his numbers are? And I absolutely think you can.
It's another story. So we've got another. You're going to bring up Chris Hubert. He's a name. He is this year's. It happens every year. He is this year's undrafted receiver story. We've seen it for every single year. But he's this year.
With Bruce Arians, we should say.
We also saw it with the Wizen Hunt, because what was it? Laron Bird 1 year. There was.
You're just making up names.
I think there's every year that I've been. So dating back to, I think, 2010, I think there is a Cardinals name. Even before that, because you'd get these. Now, they weren't the more athletic, tall receivers, but you had, you know, these undrafted, you know, white kids coming out who'd make the team as like the fifth and sixth receiver. But it seems every year there's a kid, number six, some number six receiver is undrafted, and he stands out. This year, last year was Jackson Shipley, practice squad. This year it's Chris Hubert. The year before, I don't remember who it was. The first year was Jerron Brown. Maybe it was Jerron Brown 2 years that we looked at. Before that, you had Laron Bird, and before that, you had Steven Alexander. I mean, there's been a number of them. So, but how real, I mean, listen to what we're saying. How real do you think his chances are making this roster? I don't know.
I think he's got a great shot to make the roster. The thing is, he's going to be a six wide receiver. Like,
so does it really matter?
Yeah. Like, here's the thing. Like, it's going to upset the people that wanted Jackson Shipley on the roster last year and Britton Golden made it. And then, you know, that's really the only thing. Like, people will be upset, but he's a six wide receiver. Like, I'm not trying to be rude, but he's a six wide receiver. Like, the question to me is, you know, can he be a guy? Do they see more upside in him than Jackson Shipley and Britton Golden? My answer is yes, and this is why. He is the archetype Arians receiver outside of whatever 40 he ran. Because I read that he ran like a 4.62. I think that's
it was awful. Like so, at least the testing numbers were terrible.
Yeah. So, but everything I've seen of him on film and everything I've heard is that he plays almost as fast as JJ Nelson. And I've had people that I trust tell me he's more explosive off the line than JJ Nelson is. You know, and JJ Nelson is kind of like world-class speed. Like he's not a real football player. I don't mean that as an insult, but he's a track star that's playing football. And that is a good football player, you know. So if he has that burst off the line, you know, off the jump, then you know what, that's special, that's unteachable, and
that's one of those trick players. And Arians loves to have little trick packages where you can throw a guy out there and do that.
Right, he has upside, and he has, he's the Arians archetype, so. You know, the question becomes, does he make the roster? Because he's not as good right now, but honestly, does it matter? Like, how much did Britton Golden play last year? You know, like, I think, you know, he had like, I think he had like 6 catches or something like that, 10 catches all year. Like, if Chris Hubert has 5 catches all year, like, will anybody care? No, it's about, like, do they think Chris Hubert is a player over the long haul? That's the question.
Yeah, one, can he play special teams now? And two, do they see something he can play in the future?
Yeah. So I think honestly, like, outside of those two guys, there has been one other that I'll hit on. But has there really been that many like surprises in camp?
Really? No. I mean, other than maybe other than the fact that Evan Bame is much less ready than everyone, including a lot of draft analysts, a lot of, you know, big time draft people who are calling him a plug and play center. Apparently, he's not nearly as ready as he needs to be, as he's now. I joked about the fact that they drafted a center in the first round, which we thought was a possibility, and he's going to sit. You know, it's just now it's the same scenario, only this year you don't feel bad because he's a fourth rounder. He's going to be this year, barring injury, he's going to be inactive at least for the first 8 weeks.
He's not going to see the field, man, unless there's an injury.
And then hopefully maybe the second half of the season, if there's an injury to Earl, or if there's an injury to AQ, or is Taylor Boggs going to make this team? That seems weird.
No, I think so. You and I talked about this to begin the season. Like, you know, there was Watford and Bame. Like, they were the two guys that were going to, you know, make the roster. Watford because he played center to right tackle, and Bane because he's a fourth round draft pick. Like, yeah. You don't cut a fourth round draft pick. And this is the next guy I want to talk about, Antoine McClain. And you called this.
Yeah.
You did. Antoine McClain's like the number.
He's the one guard guy. He's the guard guy.
He's the main guard backup. So are they going to keep 9 then? Like, because if McClain is the guy that's like, McClain is listed as the backup left guard, but he plays all of the starting snaps whenever Evan Mathis leaves. Like, he goes in as the starter whenever Evan Mathis is out, which has been, you know, every other practice. So, like, what's, you know, I don't know. Like, is.
Yeah, I think Watford is actually ahead of him, but because they are working on his center snaps, that's when McClain goes. I think that's what it is. But it's very clear that I mean, which means this. Guess who's not making this roster? And that's Cole Toner's not making the roster because if they keep nine, they have their starting five. You've got Earl. You've got McLean. You've got Bame. You've got to have a guy that you can play swing tackle. Now, unless they're gonna roll the dice and say, hey, let's hope nothing happens to Jared. And if we do, well, hey, we'll put DJ over there. But they just spent the last year plus untraining him from left tackle. So it would seem odd to, you know, get him all those right tackle reps to get him ready and then to throw him onto the left side. So I think they have to go with nine. I think that's what it has to be because Bame's not ready. Bame's not ready right now. And then there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, fourth rounders aren't expected to start right away.
No,
it looks like they're going to have nine. And so my roster projections are going to be different because if Chris Hubert's making the roster and they're having nine receivers, where are those other positions coming from?
Yeah, I have no idea. Maybe Hubert doesn't make the roster. Maybe, you know, maybe that's why. That's a good question. I didn't even think about that. Because you have they have like, what, 26 defensive linemen that are making the roster?
Well, he's, you know, Aaron's even threw the number. He even said the number 10 for linemen. There's no way. But they wouldn't be afraid of keeping nine defensive linemen, even though they have basically have a rotation of six or seven. That's going to be a tough decision. And that's where the third quarterback, we may not even, I mean, this third quarterback position, it probably is only going to be, it's not going to be for the roster. I'm almost convinced that as of right now that the talent's going to be too great across the board that they're going to want. And I think they can still, I think Barkley, maybe. I've heard from a couple media guys, but I'm not 100% sure. Barkley might still be able to throw on the practice squad as one of those two that aren't traditionally, you know, eligible.
Yeah, no, he can get on the practice squad because it's like, and so it's like a
who's
going to
pick
reps.
Him up? So who? I mean, I think that's how you have to do it. You're going to roll two quarterbacks on the roster.
Chip Kelly's going to go get him. No, I'm kidding.
Wait, would you know why? He traded him.
Yeah, I'm kidding. But yeah, so I think you're right. You know, this is going to be fun to watch play out. I wouldn't want to have any part of making any of these calls. That's for sure. Like, you know, because we were talking about it, you know, earlier, like, do you keep Josh Morrow or Red Bryant? Like, you know, like Morrow, you know,
has more versatility, but Bryant's a better player.
And he's another veteran that you need. Like, if Frosty gets hurt, you know, I don't know. Yeah, there's just so many questions. Like, it's going to be fun to watch play out. I'm just glad I'm not involved in the decision making.
Yeah. So, and is there any other storyline, at least in camp, other than the fact that it seems like every single cornerback gets hurt? I mean, right now they're down. They're down Justin Bethel. They're down Mike Jenkins. They're down Asa Jackson. And now Kerryl Brooks went down today in practice. Oh boy!
Every wide receiver's been hurt too. I wrote about that. What's going to happen on Friday? Like, is Larry Fitzgerald going to play into the second quarter? Because like Floyd and Fitzgerald are going to have to play first and second string.
Jerron, it's going to be Jerron, Shipley, and Hubert and Golden.
Shipley's hurt. Golden. Yeah. Shipley and Golden both left today.
And so they're going to play all tight ends. They're just going to put MoMA and Dallas at receiver. They're going to put Andre Ellington at receiver the whole game, and he's going to get hurt.
I was going to say, he's going to get hurt.
He's going to get hurt.
Like you look at it, they have John Brown. So, you know, if you figure Floyd, John, and Michael – where Fitz, we're going to only play for a little bit, right? Like, maybe a series. Now, all of a sudden, the question is, like, can you even put him out there? Because you have no depth. So, like, do you just let Jerron Brown, Chris Hubert, and Frankie Okafor play the entire snaps? And give a couple reps to J.J. Nelson and then bring him off to make sure the hamstring's okay? They literally have four wide receivers active right now.
I think that's all you can do. I mean,
that's insane. I mean, they have seven, but you don't want to or you, six. You don't, but you don't want to play Floyd and Fitz more than a series. Well, especially I think what we're going to see.
Second half, we're going to see a lot of 12 personnel. So it's going to be two receivers, two tight ends out there. And that way you can kind of see what can MoMA do. Some more Troy Nicholas. You're going to see Pimbalis and Gerald Christian. So I think they go a little more conservative. I think that makes sense there.
It's fascinating to watch because, like you said, defensive backs, like, and that's the problem is it's one top defensive back and one top, you know, wide receiver, but it's all the depth. And that is so vital in these preseason, especially game one of the preseason. Like, you don't want Patrick Peterson and Brandon Williams. Like, you even though you want to see Brandon Williams a ton, like, you can't afford to have him get injured. So, like, can you run him out there more than two or three series? Like, you can't – can you run him out there a whole first half? I mean, yeah, I understand that that's their job and you don't want him to get injured, but, you know – all of a sudden, it's a huge, like a completely different situation. You know, are we going to see more Tyvon Branch at corner? Like, is he going to have extra work at corner? Like, it's just, it's going to be interesting.
But then he'll get hurt.
That's the whole thing. Like, you have it's for the first time that I can remember outside of the defensive line, like all your injuries are at your, you know, your roster guys, your camp bodies, like. Or your back end of your depth. Like, it's not, you know, you're not like, oh man, how are we going to replace Larry Fitzgerald? You're saying, oh man.
Because the last 5 years they've lost a starter for the season. So, I mean, it's a.
Maybe, but maybe all of these injuries combined make one starter. So that's.
And I can live with that. So
it's just such a fascinating thing.
Let's come back on Rise Up Sea Red podcast for one final segment. We're going to talk about the upcoming preseason game, kind of talk about what we're looking for. So, right back after this, preseason game number one. We're back on Rise Up Sea Red, and we're gonna wrap up the show with the final segment. We're gonna talk about the upcoming preseason game Friday night. It'll, you know, I'm excited to be out there. I'll be back out there, you know, doing my media work, seeing gripping preseason football. However, as you mentioned, the Raiders really are the perfect matchup for the things that we want to see, especially since the starters are gonna play maybe a series, maybe two. But they're going to give DJ Humphreys and Brandon Williams extra reps. Oakland has very good players off the edge in Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin. And then they also have some good receivers to kind of test so they can test, you know, Brandon Williams. That's a really good matchup.
Yeah, and I think my whole thing was they have three position groups that match up extremely well with what the Cardinals' question marks are. They have an extremely talented front seven on their defense that is going to test the Cardinals starting offensive line. We have, I mean, there are questions.
We remember Khalil Mack last year and Bobby Massey. That was a mess.
And there are legitimate, fair questions about the center and the right guard. And then obviously DJ Humphreys is just a question mark at this point because we've never seen him play. So, you know, you get an excellent, you know, like you said, two to three series to see the maybe one to two series to see the how the offensive line is working. Is it gelling? How close is it to being ready? Then you have like I talked about earlier, you have two very good receivers and Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper. That's going to test what Brandon Williams can do because we've seen Amari Cooper eat up.
He beat Patrick Peterson. Now, granted, that was on that dirt field. That was partly on that dirt field of the Coliseum.
And it was preseason. But I mean, that's going to be a good test because, you know, like you said, he knows the Cardinals' route trees. He knows what they're doing out there. Like, so now all of a sudden he's got to figure it out on the fly. So it's a different, you know, it's a different experience. And then for me, finally, the last thing, I know what I have in Calais Campbell, but the offensive line of the Raiders is probably the second best in the NFL behind the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. Now you get to see where is Rodney Gunter in his progression from year one to two. How good is Ed Stinson? How good is, Red Bryant, Josh Morrow? Because we've heard all camp about how all of these defensive linemen are just bawling and playing out of their minds, and they're, it's going to be one of the hardest cuts to have. But guess what? Now all of a sudden you get to face that offensive line that is, that is phenomenal in the first game of the preseason, and you only get maybe 10 plays to show what you can do. It's going to be a great early gauge just on where they are in terms of, power, man on man work.
And for me, the depth, actually the second half is pretty, in terms of football quality, it's always kind of a mess because you've got third stringers and bodies that won't be on being in the NFL rosters playing against each other. So it gets pretty ugly, but we, Cardinals fans want to see this quarterback battle between Jay Coker and Matt Barkley. They're going to get to see it. They're going to see, that I don't know what they're to see, but, and plus you get to see these younger guys, you get to see them in game action. So does a guy like Chris Hubert translate what he's done in practice to impress? Does that, or does he get exposed on the field when the bright lights are on? Other than that, that's been pretty blasé first preseason game of, you want to get through and you want to get through healthy. Don't lose any important players, please. No, none.
Yeah. And I think another thing, and you kind of brought it up, is, Bruce Arians has been kind of bipolar on his praise of Barkley and then his, I don't know what the word is, disappointment in Barkley, I guess, and where he's at in his progression. So I don't know, maybe we'll figure out what the heck he's talking about. Because you wrote two articles last week. One was on Wednesday or Tuesday, and it was Barkley not where Arians wants him to be. The very next day,
he ran
the offense great as running the second team quarterback. I'm proud of how he looked. And then today he came out and said something about how
both of them need to step up.
Barkley and Coker need to step up.
Be a third quarterback.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, Coach, can I get a chart to follow along with your opinion on the quarterback situation? Because I cannot follow what you're saying day to day right now.
If you look at it this way, if you sort of take the history of Bruce Arians, this is kind of what he said about Logan Thomas. So if we're reading the tea leaves, as we like to say, reading between the lines, this tells us about these two quarterbacks. Neither one of them might be on the roster. I think ultimately Barkley, if you have to choose between a guy you want to have a third quarterback, it might be Barkley sitting on the practice squad. But you read between the tea leaves, you can tell Arians isn't sold on either one of these guys.
No, he's not. I mean, can you blame him? And then the other thing is, can you blame the quarterbacks? You're talking about a fourth-round pick and an undrafted free agent. It's not like you're talking about, Jared Goff disappointing in Rams camp, right? You're talking about Carson Wentz playing well in Eagles camp. I don't know. I thought the expectation of Barkley being a quarterback of the future was asinine to begin with.
Oh, goodness, yes.
We saw him fail in a simplified offense of Philadelphia.
A quarterback-friendly offense where they put up numbers, where you get Nick Foles, who has a historic season, and now he's, a backup in Kansas City.
Yeah, so, that was my, my question was Coker tantalizing enough to be a practice squad guy in terms of, can he develop? Because he was, I think, a four-star recruit, and You know, he got beat out by Jameis Winston. That's not a bad guy to get beat out by. The bad guy to get beat out by was the next year when he got beat out by Blake Sims. So, you know, that I think, like we said to open the show, they have their quarterback of the future. His name's Carson Palmer.
And kind of like the Patriots, just you just keep shuffling guys back there, but you're going, hey, no one's better than Tom Brady, so let's wait till his arm falls off and he dies.
Basically, I mean, that's what the Broncos did. It worked for them.
And they won a championship after Peyton Manning's arm did break.
Exactly. It worked for them. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, it's – I'm interested. I want to see both Barkley and Coker do well. Like, anybody that thinks I do not want them to play well is, you know, they don't understand it. I just don't think that they're good enough to be viable long-term options.
And with that, let's go ahead and wrap up this show of Rise Up Sea Red. We've talked contracts. We talked contract extensions. We looked at training camp battles and news and injuries and Brandon Williams and what we're looking forward to for the game on Friday. So I think that'll wrap us up. Now that we've got football games every week, we're going to be back in our weekly rotation unless something else comes up. So we'd like to thank you guys for listening to Rise Up Sea Red. There I did it again. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Rise Up Sea Red is the Twitter handle. We are featured on RevengeOfTheBirds.com and on CarsWire.com, also as well on Sports360AZ.com. You can find us on iTunes as well. That's Seth Cox from Revenge of the Birds and the NFL Draft Breakdown Podcast, and I'm Jess Rupp for CarsWire.com. That's a wrap, and hey, it's preseason. Go Cardinals.
All right.